We've been adoring Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the King of the universe, for these 40 hours since Thursday evening. We've been worshiping him, thanking him, listening to him, and petitioning him for all of our needs and the needs of the world. The introduction in the ritual book for the 40 hours devotion spells this out when it says, "Abiding with Christ the Lord, the faithful enjoy his intimate friendship and pour out their hearts before him for themselves and for those dear to them, and they pray for the peace and salvation of the world." Many parishioners did precisely that here in our parish church during this blessed time. Whether it was while participating in morning prayer or evening prayer on Friday or Saturday, attending one of the Eucharistic services or one of the communal recitations of the Rosary, or just individually keeping vigil with our Lord on the altar during the late hours of the night or the early hours of the morning. We have prayed as a community, whether everyone could be present here or not, turning to our Lord and friend Jesus Christ, who is the world's salvation and who remains with us in the Eucharist. But the same introduction to the 40 hours devotion then goes on to talk about how the faithful should be moved by such an experience of the intimate presence of Christ to witness to him in the world and to imitate him in their daily lives. It says, "Prayer before Christ the Lord, sacramentally present in the Eucharist, extends the union with Christ that the faithful have reached in communion. It renews the covenant that in turn moves them to maintain by the way they live what they have received through faith and the sacrament. They should strive to lead their whole lives in the strength of this heavenly food as sharers in the death and resurrection of the Lord. All should be eager to do good works and to please God so that they may seek to imbue the world with the Christian spirit and in all things, even in the midst of human affairs, to become witnesses of Christ." This is what is taught over and over in our Christian faith, that we come to God in prayer and to be sanctified by the sacraments. We are strengthened and enlightened by his holy word, and then we are sent out as friends and apostles of the Lord to share this good news, which is meant to lead all people to eternal life. The dismissal at the end of every celebration of the Mass indicates the truth of this when we hear the priest or deacon say, "Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life," or alternatively, "Go and announce the gospel of the Lord." Our readings for today's Mass tie in well with this fundamental movement in the Christian life, from prayer and sanctification to selfless service. In the first reading from the book of the prophet Amos, we hear about the cardinal moral virtue of justice, which is, as you know, the constant and firm will to give their due to God and to neighbor. Notice, of course, how God's due comes first, and this is reflected in the passage. Amos's primary admonition is directed to the Israelites, who can't wait for the Sabbath to be over so that they can get back to their business as usual, as if the worship of God, the creator of all things, isn't the most important business for us as his creatures. Amos then calls the Israelites to task for conducting their business dishonestly, cheating to make greater profit and get ahead. This is injustice towards their fellow men and women, and God does take account. Of course, these admonitions and exhortations are not just for those people of ancient times, but for us too, especially when we recognize the incomparable gifts God has given us through his Son, the forgiveness of our sins, and the life of his own Spirit. How can we not be generous to God in return and just towards one another as he asks us to be? In our second reading, we hear about another way we are called to be just towards our neighbor, by praying for and contributing to a just society. St. Paul is telling all Christians that we have a duty to pray for our nation, state, city, and all in authority over us, so that they may govern us well as God intends. Many people are mourning the loss, the death of Queen Elizabeth II at this time, because she was a dutiful sovereign. She did her duty towards her people. And this just authority, Paul tells us, is so that everyone may be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to come to know him and love him and have life in him forever. People at war, people who are caught up in political turmoil, people who suffer from lack of food or water, medicine or education, can have a much harder time knowing God's goodness and growing in their spiritual lives. This is not by God's failure, but by humans' failure. Unfortunately, it is a consequence of original sin. This is why God wants there to be good government based upon his eternal laws, and why we as Christians have to pray for it and work towards it, which is especially an important part of the mission of the lay faithful. One of the petitions in the prayer of the faithful is always, as you know, for our civic authorities, that they may govern us well. Finally, in our gospel reading today from St. Luke, we hear how Jesus puts things in their proper perspective. From the parable that he tells to his disciples, we are reminded that we are but stewards of all the gifts we have been given and of all things in creation. Each one of us has a time of our stewardship, which is the number of our days on this earth. Only God knows how many. And each of us will have to prepare a full accounting of our stewardship, whatever it has been, as a business person or lawyer, a teacher or a priest, a husband or a wife, a father, mother, or a single person, as a citizen of this country, or just a member of the common family of man. This life is not all our own. It belongs to our Master, and he wants us to use it wisely. In truth, we do have to admit, we have been those dishonest stewards in some ways at one time or another. What will help God to overlook our dishonesty, though, as Jesus' parable tells us, is that we have at least tried to help and serve others with what we have and to the best of our ability. So as we celebrate our Mass here today, having concluded these 40 hours of devotion to the Eucharist, let us first of all be thankful for the spiritual gift of the body and blood of Jesus, Christ among us who feeds us and sanctifies us and gives us strength to lead this Christian life. Then, having heard God's word and knowing his will, let us be just and true to him and to one another in all that we do.